Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 68, The Way of Obedience is Suffering. Today is Friday, October 10th, 2008.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
Thank you for joining the podcast today. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Pastor Paul's Mission, located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue in North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You can also visit us at www.pastorpaul.org. We're building an online community and want you to be a part of it. At the top of the homepage, you're going to see Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, Twitter, YouTube. So be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.org. Join the online community. If you live in Minnesota and you're in need of food, these are economic down times. If you need food, you're not alone. We serve 6,500 registered households at Pastor Paul's. You can join Pastor Paul's club. Call this number, 612-521-4665, and find out how you can register for Pastor Paul's grocery shelf. I will also put links to all of these in the show notes at the blog. So you would just go to Pastor Paul's blog, and you'll be able to see links to the show in the show notes. Be sure to register, or I should say subscribe to the podcast, so that the podcast is sent to you. Every week on Fridays, we have a new podcast. Let me tell you, next Friday, The Way involves commitment. So already, you've got today's message, The Way of Obedience is Suffering. The Way involves commitment. So be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's messages every week. Tell your friends. The reason we're doing the podcast is for you. I know you're going to get a lot out of the podcast, out of Pastor Paul's messages. I have heard them all. I love Pastor Paul's messages, and I get so much out of them, and I want to share those with you. If you have any comments, any questions or suggestions, feel free to call the comment line and leave those as well. Or you can send me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. I'd like to hear from you. Okay, on with the message. The way of obedience is suffering. First of all, how did you like the song, A Brand New Key by Melanie? I took that from my Time Life Flower Power Age of Aquarius CD. I took that song because Pastor Paul actually talks about keys. It's so good. But you know, more than that, that song represents, could be a theme song, roller skating, bicycling, not driving anymore, my little way of helping the environment, helping to conserve energy and gas. And you can learn so much from the song. And it says in the Bible, come like a child. That's what the song reminded me of. It reminded me of a child that looks at life very simply. Let's get back into being simple. But that would solve quite a bit of our problems these days, wouldn't it? No driving? Think about that. Oh my. Anyways, but that song is just an inspiration to me, just like Pastor Paul's message. I was inspired to play that song. She simply talks about this key. She says, you have something that I need. You have something that I need. I've got a pair of roller skates. Let's get together and just see what we can do. That's community right there. It starts with two, goes to three, goes to four, goes to five, on and on and on. Join the community. Get them roller skates out and dust off the bike. The message is really good. There's a lot here. I've got so many notes, I don't know where to start, so I'm not going to do any. I just want you to go and listen to the message. One point, the coin. Listen for the coin. Oh, which reminds me, if you have some coin, you can send it to us. Send us a donation. Pastor Paul's Mission, 1000 Oliver Avenue, North Minneapolis. We could use your support. But getting back to the coin in the message, the coin in the message, Pastor Paul compares two sides to a coin. The blessings on the one side, the suffering on the other. That's life. We have both. But it'll make us better. It'll make us stronger. If we're obedient in the suffering, if we're in prayer in the suffering, it all works out in the end. Believe me and believe Pastor Paul. I'm going to put links to everything we talked about in the show notes. I'm going to put links to Melanie's song. I think it's a hit. I think it should be just, I think we should just request it on the radio continually on all the oldie stations. This is your homework assignment. Request Brand New Key, Melanie's song. Let's get it out there. Let's get it out there. Let's get on our roller skates. Let's get on our bikes. Let's join and become a community. It starts with a couple of people. I've got something you need. You've got something I need. Let's start to share. I think we're on to something. I'm going to leave you with that. Pastor Paul's message, you're going to be inspired. You're going to be coming back here next Friday. The way involves commitment. Thank you for joining me. I love you. God bless you. And I'm going to leave you with the favorite line in the song. We're going to request Melanie's song, Brand New Key. Goodbye.
I ride my bike, I roller skate, don't drive no car. Don't go too fast, but I go pretty far. For somebody who don't drive, I've been all around the world. Some people say I done all right for a girl. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tonight's tape is entitled, The Way of Obedience is Suffering. This morning I went to open up the door of my office. It's a new door on there, and it had a key, and I had misplaced the key. So I thought, well, I'm going to try all these keys here. They're all the same shape, and one of them just might fit. So I tried them all in there, you know, and they were all close, and they all slid right in there, but none of them would work. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, well, you see all those up and down ridges, those valleys and those hills and those peaks? That's just like in your walk. You get the grooved and cuts in the valleys and the hills in there, and then when it's just right, you can open up that door. Now I'm going to cut a new key for you, and then we'll just take that key and we'll throw that key away. Next door you go into, it's going to have a whole lot of valleys in it, and a whole lot of mountain peaks, and all them rough edges in there represent suffering. On God's key maker. Then he just sort of, I was up here at the key place, and they take this little sort of a buffer wire wheel, and they go zzzz. They take all the rough edges off it, and it goes in that certain lock, and that's just like when God unlocks spiritual doors for us. It's got all of those hills and all of those valleys and all those things, and it represents a certain amount of suffering. Ecclesiastes says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. And I thought to myself, how is my suffering going? How will I answer? I don't suffer. I don't understand or find. And Job says, for the affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. But man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. You were born unto trouble. And I believe Job was written to deal with this problem of unmerited suffering. And he suffered well. Some people think life is a comedy and then life to some is a tragedy. And I think we need to balance the two. And I think as I minister, I find those that don't feel. Then there are some that say, is life a tragedy to everybody and to all of us? I started thinking about that, and I thought in a comedy, someone must be the target, the tragedy. There's always the fall guy. There's always the one that you have to laugh at. That's like we would take half of this audience and say, ha, 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 boo, hoo, boo, hoo. There's always got to be an opposite. Ha, 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 boo, hoo, boo, hoo. Huh? Do you ever notice that? Not a day. Particularly on Friday, I find that people are on sort of a down period, I mean, in the world especially, and wherever you go, thank God it's Friday. One is laughing and one is crying, and I think we have to laugh with and we have to cry with people, and we need to balance ourselves out. Because in our world today, we are seeing a very rapid change. And people are listening to head shrinkers instead of God in those high places in society. This week I had to minister to a men's club. Before I went, the thought came to me, well, now how should I minister to all these lawyers and bankers and dentists and doctors and so on like that? And I got up and I prayed for the will of God. I says, God, your will be done here today. And as soon as I said, your will be done here today, the word came to me, preach the gospel. In season, out of season, when it's handy and when it isn't handy. And that's exactly what I preached. Isn't it funny sometimes how we like to compromise the message and we'd like to ear tickle certain people in high society? But you know, the message went forth, and the message is powerful than any two-edged sword. It had its effect. Oh, God. Ooh. And I thought to myself, we must not listen to these modern thinkers. They have old thoughts with new twists. We must know how to deal with suffering. Let's not ignore, but explore. Let's examine the Word of God closely. Let's look at the world without these rose-colored glasses on. And I thought to myself, we need to deal with the problems at hand. Do homosexuals suffer? Of course they do. Do the lesbians suffer? Of course they do. Do kids of divorce suffer? Of course they do. Do the extroverts suffer? Of course they do. And do the introverts suffer? Of course they do. And I thought, you know, it seems like there's always two sides to every story. The world says it, doesn't they? A hog in the mud side and a, oh God, deliver my soul side. I have faith in God's side and why and how come and that isn't fair, God's side. And it seems to me when everything is going great, God is great, but when calamity comes, people then think, God should spare his children from all calamities. And if he doesn't do it, they say, well, God is not God. Or they think that they've done something wrong. Well, I think there is something wrong here. Does the gospel teach that if we follow Christ, a bullet will never hit us in a war? That we'll never get a ticket? I just got one last week. That we'll never get ill? That all of our kids will be angels? And that we'll make and wake up to the birds chirping and the fragrance of cantil�s, magnolia blossoms every day? And that people will always love you, and that dogs will never bite a Christian? How dare you? I'm a Christian. And that we will never get rained on. And that all of our bills will be automatically paid. And that all of our neighbors will respect and just cherish our every view. That we'll never have any hard feelings about our believing. And I thought to myself, suppose then that the calamities only struck the wicked. And that the righteous ones would never be touched. And I thought, what kind of a world would this be then? Its laws would always be in the process of suspension whenever the righteous were involved. Someone falling from a building, hold it, he's righteous, and then we would go up. We'd fall up and the rest would fall down. And I thought, what kind of a universe would we have? Certainly not a very dependable one. You'd only get on an airplane when everyone was righteous, because you wouldn't dare trust the rest of them to be on there. You'd be too good. Hey, you could cause an accident. I can't ride on this plane with you. And we'd spend all of our days trying to stay righteous. We'd be busy watching everybody else. But our God is a God of order. There's got to be order. Because you see, these calamities and these things that befall us are made to shape us. Some days we have days when we think, well, God, isn't there anybody on my side? God isn't dealing with those people that aren't on your side. He's dealing with you. Oh, wonderful suffering to bring you into a realization of Jesus Christ as your only source. But we have those days, don't we? And we say, why can't everybody understand what I understand? How many have those days? And I've come to know and I've come to believe that there's no battle, there's no victory. And I thought the Bible says we can't lose anyway. We've already won, but we don't go by sight. And then, of course, God's laws are orderly because God is orderly. And my God is also dependable. I know that when I go to bed, I'm going to stay there. I'm not going to float up and I'm not going to go through the floor. I'm going to stay there. But I also, in my heart, believe God does intervene. God does not always allow calamity to come our way. Then I thought, some think if their God has no calamities for them, that he has chosen them for a special purpose, sort of like cosmic pets. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, deserted of men, seemingly of God, the crowd cried out, he trusted God. Let him deliver him now if he desireth him. But there was a greater purpose. And there is a greater purpose in our suffering. when you're with babes in Christ and you're dealing with people and phone calls and so on and so on and so on and so on. Learn to be quiet and learn to be still. Allow the person to go through all of those segments, just as you have gone through them, and learn that it's first the suffering and then the joy, and God never deals second-handedly with anybody. He's always dealing with you. No one else. You can wish him to deal with someone else, but he won't do that through you. He'll only deal with you. But he's always got your betterment in view. Well, I thought to myself, are Christians spared? And I come to believe there's an in-evil and an out-evil. Out-evil from our environment, our society, the natural universe, that evil we call suffering. And then that in-evil, that evil within us, the choices of our wills, that evil we call sin. That in-evil, our choice inwardly, then that's the only way the devil can get the best of you. It's when you have your own way by your own will. When you choose to go the way of the devil. But many ask in their phone calls, and they ask with their questions, and they ask with their voices and by the way that they talk. Why should we suffer from out evil, something we did not choose? And we all ask those questions. And as you know, there are 9 blesseds in the opening of Sermon on the Mount. They are all things we do not want to do. And then in Luke 21, 8 and 9 are 9 troubles. They are things we don't want. They are 9 avenues of suffering, and they sum up practically all the ways from which our sorrow and pain come. And I'll read them to you. The other side of the coin. How many are hearing it? When he saw the multitudes, he went up onto the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and opening his mouth, he began them to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." No one wants to be poor in spirit. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That's the 9 blesseds. Let's go to the other side of the coin. In Luke 21, starting in verse 8, "And he said, see to it that you be not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he." And we're hearing that now. "The time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place. But the end does not follow immediately." And then he continued saying, are you hearing this? "See to it that you be not misled, for many will come among you saying, I am he." And I'll say that again. The time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. Then he continued by saying to them, nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you. Now, that does sound like you're going to go through a little bit of suffering, doesn't it? Persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Oh, my. So make your minds up not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all. Now, does it sound like there's a little bit of suffering in the house of God? Say amen, somebody. Now, I'm not just saying this. Jesus is speaking. And it has not been preached. And you will be hated by all on account of my name. And yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. The other side of the coin. Verse 8 of Luke 21. Suffering from confused counsels in religion, many, he said, shall come in my name, saying, I am he. And then the time is at hand, go ye not after them. That's the confused counsel that we're going to be hearing. And I thought to myself, why aren't these things plain? Because religion touches on our deepest place. And to be uncertain there is to spread uncertainty into our whole life. And there's a whole lot of people. Sometimes it seems like they cannot be certain of their salvation. And I believe it's because life nowadays is uncertain. We mistrust our government. We mistrust our mates. We mistrust our friends. We mistrust our jobs. And there is about, and I should say already, a new religion called confusion. People say, why didn't God make things very, very plain? 2 and 2 is 4. Why don't we go that route? Because life would be boring. Because life would have no mystery. Because life would have no adventure. Because our characters could not be formed if we knew everything that was going to happen and everything was all 1, 2, 3, ABC. Now, I believe it's very necessary that the very deepest things be sufficiently hidden to develop power of discrimination, our spiritual insights, and I think that we have to make choices between competing ends. The one that seems the highest to us, the one that the Spirit leads us to. But then this process is very, very painful and causes us much mental and spiritual suffering, something we don't hear a lot about. And secondly, shows we will suffer from wars and conflicts in human society. It says, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. I thought to myself, it's only a few that decide these wars. Why don't they take these 65-year-old or 70-year-old men and you know, put some wrestling outfits on them and say, now, okay, go at it. You guys want war? Go ahead. And they could have tag team matches with their partners. Great big Russian and maybe a Chinese over here, you know, and they could have Turks over here and Greeks and Norwegians and Swedes, and they could choose up tag teams. But all these older men that want war. May the best man win. I don't think we'd have too many wars, do you? I think it'd be a good show and people would fall down dying laughing. That's what I think. Oh, there's a whole lot of things I think of. Sometimes you listen to politicians and they tell you this isn't so and that isn't so, and we say, okay, we're going to give you 1 month living down here on the north side. Right down here on 1000 Oliver Avenue North. Well, better yet, we'll put you right up here on Plymouth Avenue. Maybe you change your tune then. We're not going to give you any money and you have to go for, well, let's say 6 months so they can really get used to it. You stand on that soup line and get that bread and that cheese that you gripe about people getting all the time. Their butter allotments and all these old things. Stand there in some great big old borrowed clothes. It's too big for you and you got a rope holding your pants up. I mean, really get into it so you know what you're talking about. And then we'll take your places and we'll go out here and live on Capitol Hill. Then maybe we'll appreciate each other. And then thirdly, suffering from physical calamities is in nature, such as earthquakes. There shall be great earthquakes. Well, isn't that the way... No, the Christian will not even feel it. Ooh, wouldn't that degrade Christianity? If all the Christians were spared every little suffering and they never had to suffer at all. They always had plenty of money and plenty of food and plenty of everything. I think everybody would become a Christian and be like buying fire insurance. Oh, I'm covered. I thought we'd soon lose our discipline. That we get from living in God is no respecter of persons' world. God does not respect you over someone else. You're going to feel that earthquake. Because if we are then exempted from struggle with, let's say, impersonal or impartial forces, we'd never have any kind of character. Because our character is formed by the very struggle and by the very sufferings that we come into, the potter's hands, the beating the clay together and putting it on the wheel. And I've come to believe that when they say, easy does it doesn't get anything done. Hard does it, that's when it gets done. Take it easy. Don't work too hard. Don't tell folks that. My God, they're trying to escape from work all the time. They got more excuses. They got a bag full of them. Ooh, so some people have this type of faith, a wiggle your nose faith. Captain Kirk. $6 million man. They fantasize. What kind of a junky faith would that be? God's producing characters right now through suffering, through getting the job done, by overcoming obstacles, by going ahead, by overcoming, by having done all stand. And how can we do that if there's no suffering? God is dealing with the people that he's bringing up now. Let's say that you were the head of a company. And you were the father of this particular family, talking in the natural now, but implying the spiritual. And you had your kids working in the company. And your kids would walk in, you know, there's one shoe on, one shoe off, and their hair all over, you know what I mean. Big sleep crusts in their eyes, you know, and old matter coming out of their eyes, you know, all caked on their eyelids. And they come slopping in there in a pair of old tennis shoes and dirty feet, punch in and gripe and moan. And the rest of these people see that. You just let it go. Those are my kids, hey? Lighten up on it. What kind of an example would that be? And our God, our Heavenly Father, isn't going to do that with us either. He wants us to be disciplined. He doesn't want us coming in late. Doesn't want us dragging in. Doesn't want us holding up the show. Be a very poor excuse for a Christian. Maybe sleeping on the job, all of a sudden your son or your daughter just lays down, smacks on their lips, right down in the middle of the floor. Huh? How would that look? And then they say, well, those are my kids. Or the preacher says, well, those are Christians. They have a right. They're above you. You do the work. They can lay down and sleep. They can come in here with their dirty feet and moccasins dragging across the floor. They're Christians. Don't you know? Or take long lunches. And the rest of them, the bell rings and you just sit there. Ring! And just looking real pussycat. They're just sitting there smacking on your food. And go ahead, we're Christians. We're not of this world. Isn't that the way some Christians act? Especially if they're working for another Christian. Oh, brother, I've only read 4 chapters of the Bible. Oh, you mean you're going to try to get me up? I'm reading God's Word. I am reading God's Word. And you're telling me to get up and go to work? You heard it right. Get up. It's the Word in you. Let's put that word to work that you got in you now. Oh my, but that's the kind of Christianity that has been coming on for the last few years. And then they're suffering from physical sickness and infirmities. There shall be pestilences. Now I know God does heal with a touch, but we need balance. Christians do get sick. They do? Oh, boy, no, you've come against it. That's negative. As they're sitting there with a great big red nose, they've been blowing all day long, and they won't take it. They won't do anything for it, and they won't do anything because, see, that would show a lack of faith. That's just a symptom, and so they put on their tombstone, died of symptomatitis. And the world looks at that and they say, these are them, I don't believe these. These are the most ignorant bunch I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I know I'm going to get cards and letters on this one, but my God, there needs to be balance. I just read all the other side of the coin. Pestilences and earthquakes and all that. Oh, we won't get touched. All the houses will fall, come tumbling down, and we won't even be touched. We won't even feel that. My God, that is such nonsense, it makes me sick. I want to be able to feel the earthquake. Say, God, have your way. Well, how could you pray for the sick if there were no sick? Oh, God. See, it's how we act during these illnesses that brings the results and builds the character. Then they're suffering from economic distresses. There shall be famines. There's a whole lot of folks laid off right now. Of course, none of them are Christians, right? No, that couldn't be. That'd be negative. God wouldn't let that happen to you. See, it's an opportunity to help one another. God's given us opportunities here to help one another and to feed one another and to go through it together. And what are we doing? Millions are starving over in Africa right now. I think the whole total thing is lack of love. Lack of concern is lack of love. And shutting your eyes, you have eyes, why don't you open them up? And you have ears, why don't you unplug them? Why don't you use them? And you know what? It's going to get a whole lot worse, sir. You know, the union doesn't honor your faith. Only your seniority. Up! Don't lay me off. I'm a man of faith. What's that got to do with it? Where are you on the seniority roster? Get out. But look at this guy. He's evil. Why should you hold on to him? I'm a much better person. I'm a Christian. I looked at Jesus and I saw that he died with a seamless robe. That's all he had. No place to even lay his head. He was in the world, but he wasn't of it. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And Paul died penniless. In a dungeon waiting for a robe and a few books. Timothy, come before winter. Then there's a suffering from one's own fellow men, and they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. Oh no, I claim it not to be. Jesus says it will be. I don't care, I'm going to claim it not to be. Hold it! Hey! They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. Is that talking about somebody else? I was reading in Psalm 38 and 11 and through 15. And David says, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. And I thought, whatever attention they may have pretended to have, they stayed away from him. It says they stayed aloof from his sore. See, he was sort of like a sinking ship. You know, when a ship goes down, all the other boats sort of have a tendency to follow. And they said, oh, we don't want to be in this. Let's. They start rowing away. He's going under. Oh, my God. Hurry up. Row away. Row. He's going under. Huh? It's going to happen. Whoa! They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. And they stayed away from him. Oh, how hard it is. When those who should be first to come to our rescue are the very first to desert us. But But then again, all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Then we have those times of deep sorrow. And it seems like our most affectionate friends can do nothing to help us because the Holy Spirit is dealing with us. No one can help us. No words can soothe our soul because the Holy Spirit is convicting us to change. And my kinsmen stood afar off. And like Jesus, we have many spectators at times, unconcerned. In verse 12, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me. Worse yet, with all of the inward griefs, we are beset with inward temptations. David's foes wanted to ensnare him. Working now in the church circle and working somehow in the political arena. He touches you every day, the political arena. You find out that different ones lay snares for one another. Know how the Word of God comes bearing down on it. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things. Their lies and their slanders poured forth like a released fire hydrant. You ever seen one of those when they uncork them in the summertime? Their wagging tongues and their evil pumping hearts. And then it goes on and it says, and imagine deceits all the day long. There is no let up from morning until night. When they cannot act, they talk. And when they could not talk, they imagined and schemed and plotted. I thought to myself, oh, how restless is the activity of malice. Never gives up. Bad men never have enough evil. They hunt hurt constantly. There is no labor too severe. No cost too great to destroy the innocent. But then listen to what David says. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. I won't hear of it. I mean, they were doing all these things. He didn't hear it. I am like a deaf man and I'm not going to hear it. He had sort of a sacred indifference to slander. And I thought, ooh, man, that's wise. And then he goes on, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Keep your mouth shut. And here we have David being very bravely silent. Takes a lot of guts to be silent. Christ-like he was. Like Jesus. You mean to tell us that you're the Son of God? You said it. Woo! How many hearing is? Well, the Bible says we have an advocate. We need not plead our own cause. We have to leave room for the wrath of God. And our strength is to sit still. Right in the middle of all the wagging tongues. Right now, I know this sounds kind of negative to some folks with all their positive claiming and all of this junk that you're hearing. My God, there's the other side of the coin right there. I read it to you tonight. These things are going to happen. I'm trying to bring it into view to you. But you just keep your mouth shut. You play dumb. Play dead. Aren't we supposed to be dead to that stuff? Play dead like a possum. Just roll over and just lay there dead. And they'll sniff and paw at you for a while, and they'll say, oh, he's no fun. Because you know why we have to do this? Because these things are going to be happening to us. And I pray, I just thank God that some of these very things I'm talking about have happened to me in a very great way for several years now. I am glad because it's prepared me. When I see it coming on other folks, I just say, oh, I would like to say something right now, but I ain't going to say a thing until you go through it. And sometimes you see people making all kinds of mistakes and you have to keep your mouth shut. Only open it up when the Lord tells you to open it up. And other than that, just keep it shut. But listen to what he says here. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. He committed himself to the righteous judge. He believed in the power of God and in prayer. And I thought, oh, what's the difference? Our reputation is like a pearl, you know, that's been thrown into the mire, and sooner than not, God is going to lift it up, and his jewel is going to be revealed anyway, so who cares? We are going to have to learn that, yes, these things are going to befall us. It's going to be all these things befalling us, and we're not going to be left out of it. No, we will not be left out of it. They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. And I thought, oh, I get so sick sometimes of society. It demands conformity. If you fall below its standards, it will persecute you. Why don't you buy a new car? Look at that wreck. So you go out and buy a Cadillac, and they say, ha-ha, must be rough. Yeah, oh, wait a minute now. Look at, we are different. Aren't we? Why are we always trying to change ourselves and we counsel each other to death? Why don't you just come to the realization that you are different? That you are strange. And we go and we get counsel because we know we're different and we know we're strange. And the reason that we have to have counsel is because we're trying not to be different and not to be strange to the world. And so we live in a sort of an imbalance. And we never go all the way one way. You go all the way one way, it'll cut all the counseling right down there. You die. How can somebody counsel you when you're dead? Say amen, somebody. My God, we counsel each other half to death. Some people even pay for it. Say amen, somebody. My God, it's time that somebody ministered the truth. You are different. And I don't want to be different. And I don't want to be strange. Why do I feel this way? Because you're still alive in yourself. There's a battle going on. Me! This isn't Christ anymore. It's me! And so me has to go get counseled every other second. What's wrong with me? Nothing. Still alive. That's what's wrong with it. Stinking. Reprobate mind. Take your body out of here. God's the only one that wants it. Give your body to God. He's the only one that really wants it. Did you know that? Say amen, somebody. You are different. Now, when I got up and I got up at this meeting, I recognized in front of all these men that I was different. Well, I'm different. I am definitely different. And the words that come from my mouth will be different, and not only different, they will be strange. But it's not mine to wonder about the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the word will go out, and it will not come back spent and fall to the ground, but it will do what it's supposed to do. It has been sent out to do it, minister the gospel. And if we were all busy ministering the gospel, we wouldn't have time to go to the shrink all the time. Now, I know I'm going to get cards and letters on account of that, but my God, it's the truth. There's a whole lot of time wasting going on. You're going to have suffering in the physical. There will be pestilences and so on like that. You're ugly ducklings. How's that? You come around, someone sees you. You know, you're ugly to them because you're smiling and you're sickening. You're smiling away. You know, what are you smiling about, people say? What you saw, happy about? Well, I don't know. I really can't explain it, and I'm not going to lean on it because I'll lose it. How many understand what I'm trying to get across here? See, it's really the truth, isn't it? And you know what? The truth will set you free, and it's so simple it'll just blow you away. You are ugly ducklings to be picked on. You heard the story about the ugly duckling? How many hearing this? Let's have your attention. Lock all the doors and windows up here. Less conversations going on because you'll miss it. You are an ugly duckling. Ugly duckling that everybody picked on? Didn't he get beautiful at the end? Huh? Remember it, don't you, son? Everybody picked on him because he was so ugly. But he turned out the bestest of them all, didn't he? He turned out gooder than all of them. How many heard that? I like to use incorrect English because then I get cards and letters and phone calls from people and say, God, can't you even talk right? Well, at least I got your attention waiting for mispronounced words, boob. Woo! Now, I'm not trying to set you up with a persecution complex here tonight. I don't want you to get into self-pity. But I remember, I've said this before, I remember this girl, she came to me and she says, you know what? I know persecution is here. I was down here at the lunch counter the other day and I prayed and the waitress started laughing, snickering behind the counter. I said, well, that's not persecution, that was just a dumb waitress. I says, it doesn't say something like that. It says they will lay hands on you and you will be wearing a cream pie right in the kisser. Now that's persecution, and they'll kick you all the way out the door. Get out, get out, get out. You'd be walking out with cream pie all over your face. Yahoo, yahoo, yahoo. Now it says, if you would have told me that, I'd say, now that is persecution. The beginning of sorrows. Then it goes on, suffering from religious and secular authorities. They shall persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons. Two types of trouble. The synagogue and the prisons, one religious and one secular. They're going to deliver you up to the churches, probably the World Council. Then to the prisons. Well, don't you worry about what you're to say. In that hour, I'll give you what to say. Don't you even think about it. Don't nurse it and rehearse it. My spirit will be upon you. Will you bow down or die? You know, our church right now is in line for persecution. Whew. It says, all who live godly will suffer persecution. Then it goes on, there's a suffering through our home life. Ye shall be delivered up even by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. They're going to be a whole lot of young Jesus people. They'll be outcasted in their own homes. But you see, the inward urge of the young people is greater than the pain, and so we'll have a whole lot of embarrassed parents. You come into the room, you young people listening, and your parents are having their two martinis, and you say, praise the Lord. You're going to irritate them, and they're going to kick you out of the house. And they'll find your newfound joy sickening. Oh, I wish you were the way you were. And then there's going to be a suffering from the fact of being associated with Christ. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. God, you don't sound like being a Christian's no fun at all. That's why they don't preach this. We read where Simon, the very aged saint, saw Christ would be a sign that we'd be spoken against. I thought, what would it be like if Christ Jesus came to Congress? And I thought probably three things would happen. First, he'd be very popular, and they'd come up to him, and the senator so-and-so, and say, you know, I've got this bad leg and a headache and this itch and so on. And then they would be puzzled because he would be ministering, ye hypocrites, ye vipers, your robes are filthy. And so there would be the popular and the puzzling, and then there would be the persecuted. Ye have the same qualities, Christ in you. Here we have Christ on the cross, and he started to disturb the feast at Jerusalem, and the Jewish leaders there asked that he be taken down. What a sight! The crown of thorns and the torn face, and they had that echo in their brains. Unto thee I commend my spirit! And it echoed over and over and over and over, even on down to these centuries. Then they looked out and they saw all that dried blood upon him, and the echo was, if you see me, you see the Father. And then they saw that body pierced, and the echo came, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. They saw that body that was whipped, and they heard that echo. You said it. You said it. You said it. Oh, how we're going to upset this misguided world in this very end times when we start to minister the gospel and we start to minister it in the power of the Holy Ghost without fear. How many are hearing this? When we start to minister the glorious gospel without a fear in us during these very trying times. And like Debbie said, the Spirit was on her to minister and just to talk to this person and to talk to this person. And so she simply obeyed the Spirit and turned around and says, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Try to figure that one out. Oh, woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel. I can't go any place lest I preach the gospel. If I leave that place and I haven't offered Christ or preached the gospel, I leave empty. Oh, God, why didn't I say something? You've gone through that? I've gone through it. I had a chance to say it. I didn't say it. I had a chance to lead someone to the Lord. And you leave, and this gnawing is on the inside. You didn't do it. You didn't obey the Holy Ghost. Woe be it unto me if I minister not the gospel. The Bible says also, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For if they do, it's saying, then you are accommodating yourself to all men, including their sins. And so in closing here, we find that Christ being what he is and the Christian being what he should be is bound to know suffering as a result of following Christ. Praise the Lord. Whoa, and that's the only way, and there's only one left. One more suffering that I can add to this list. Death comes to homes, good or evil. I've given you the other side tonight. The other side of the coin. The other side. Oh, God. Without that other side, you have no character. You have no plan. You have no purpose. You have no Jesus. Unless you share in the sufferings of Christ, you'll not share in the glory. There's got to be. There's got to be. Don't always be so quick with your counsel to people. Keep your mouth shut. Allow the person to go through. Allow the person the respect of making a few mistakes and don't say, I told you so, told you so, told you so when they're all done. Because they'll know. You won't have to say one word. There's a key being made tonight in each one of your lives. It's got its highs and it's got its lows. But it's being cut just right to open up that next door. You got your high times, your blessed times, and you got the low times, you got the suffering times. But it's the only way it's going to fit into that door to unlock that door to the next room, the larger room. Praise God for it. Praise the Lord for it. Oh, God. It says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things. All things. You mean even my past life? Yeah. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God will use those things. And he'll build you in the faith and get you strong in the Holy Ghost to go minister to those people that have the very same problems. Oh my God, it's so wonderful. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't that make you feel good? All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I ain't going to gripe about the next day. I ain't going to gripe about nobody. God, you sent them my way. And I know that you're dealing with me. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to fuss and fret. I'm not going to say, oh, if it wasn't for them. How many had those thoughts this week? It all boils down to God's dealing with us with beautiful, wonderful suffering. And why don't we allow each other to go through? Say amen, somebody. Amen. Instead of giving somebody all that old phony counsel all the time, just tell them, claim it, by faith, go, yes, no, you're all right, there's nothing wrong with you, that's just a symptom. Say, brother, go on through. Jesus is with you, go through, up and over. Oh. Right? Yeah. Isn't that the way we should be? Hey! And the guy's sitting back there all boo-hooing. Nobody goes along with me. You just yell at him and say, hey! We don't have time for that. We don't have time. The Lord's coming is right around the corner. Glory to God, right around the corner. But, you know, I can just see the radio audience right now, and I can also see some of the tape. And you say it like that, and you say it over again, and you look at mule. You ever seen a mule's face that hangs real long? They didn't hear that. Did you ever see a mule? A mule is an ugly. Isn't there a song like that? A mule is an ugly. Something like that. Huh? You don't understand. Don't understand. How many understood tonight's message? I tell you, it's wonderful. There's two sides of the coin. Take them both. Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for all the people that are here tonight. I thank you for each soul, Lord, that you're guiding on to glory. I thank you, Lord, that before the foundation of the world was even found, you already picked out them people, Lord, that was to be saved. And my God, right now, that we, the chosen ones, Lord God, have the right to choose right now. In Jesus' name, we choose to lead those in, Lord God, right now. The chosen ones choosing to go out and get those, Lord, that are lost. Going out into the highways and the byways and to minister to all creation, hallelujah. God, that we minister the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ without being ashamed. Lord, that we lift up Jesus and we know Jesus Christ, Lord, high and lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. My God, put that message deep within our heart and deep within our spirit, Lord God, and anoint us with that great message, that revival that's got to come, Lord God, in the end time. That flashing, beautiful spirit and that chain of lightning and that command from God right now and that sound of the trumpet right now within our hearts to awaken us to the battle cry, Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, right now, anoint the people in this audience and anoint the radio audience. And my God, bring us together in all oneness. Bring the churches together, Lord God, right now, through the persecution, through the suffering, through the pain, and through the woe, and all the things that are going to beset the church in the end time, Lord, for the separation of the sheep and the goats. My God, have us to understand that you're doing this right now and that there's a plan and that there's a purpose right now. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we count it all joy to suffer for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's hear it for the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Woo! Now, is there anybody in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anyone?